If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz. Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. And follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Tedious 1142.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Or the Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
That's what we say around
the Jewish
here.
Apocalypse.
That's Monday. And it snowed. And it's Monday. Well, we have a ton of shit to do, though.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about. And yeah. Things that we never got
Houthis.
To. Or
I was listening to these guys like reviewing this Houthi video game last night. I don't know.
Oh, it was a video game?
Didn't seem very...
Or is this called like Red Sea Shipping?
Well, it's like there's these gamers.
Oh, I know.
The gamer review.
Yeah.
And they were like reviewing these Houthis.
I feel like they don't even bother to do game reviews anymore. They're just like National Institute of Geopolitics.
I would just assume this was a game. Like they were just playing.
Well, yeah, like, they're playing Battleship.
Hearts of Iron or something, or Hearts of Liquid National or Natural Gas. I don't know. So
Hearts of LNG.
Yeah.
But
the problem
is,
like, I want to know about the Houthis, and this nigga was talking about shit from like 1,500 years ago, and I was like, "But they bombed stuff like yesterday."
Yeah, I don't think they were doing that 1,500 years ago. They might have been.
It's like they were shooting stuff at boats, like last week.
They were playing Battleship, right?
But. Yeah. It's like I'm not sure. I don't know about what happened in like 635, I guess AD. Or is that CE now? Is that now called Common Era?
Something that always confused me. If it's not BC and AD, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, BCE is before Common Era, and then Common Era is Common Era because.
So it's just the same thing, just different letters. Because I've heard it's like something.
Well,
it's the
same. Well, it's because they want to destroy. Like you can't have.
Yeah,
because
they wanted to get rid of Anno Domini.
Yeah,
but it's also like, but I don't know. Again, it's like the metric system. I have no idea what you're talking about now.
Yeah, but we've got like our months are named after Roman gods. So
no.
Whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, call it BC. That's fine. Before Christ
before
is fine.
Christ. It was all that stuff happened before Christ. Technically,
I mean,
I think they,
we're still
I
in
January.
We're still in January. It's named after Janus, right? So what's the big deal? Why yeah. complain?
The big deal is white
supremacy.
Because
get it? Because it's looking backwards at the last year and looking forward to the new year. So it's two-faced, like Janus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's January.
Stop this crazy thing. Get it? See what I did there.
I feel like Janus is in the comments section all
Janus
the time.
Janus addiction?
Oof.
He's just always in there leaving shitty comments, being
coming
two-faced.
Down the mountain! And then pushing the rock like back up the mountain. Isn't that another like Roman thing?
Sisyphus?
The Sisyphus? Yeah, that's good. No, he's the one that he had like itchy grind. He has like the syphilis. He's like, I got syphilis's boulder here. What's the syphilis?
The
rock.
Myth of Syphilis.
Yeah.
It's like a famous book by.
Fuck.
What's his face?
Yeah. Straight in the ditch already.
Yeah. Sorry, we've already just torn. Right. Well, what I wanted to talk about.
Well,
I wanted to talk about.
No. I had something I was making.
No,
Alex
I was going
to
talk about.
I was making Alex laugh last night. There's a guy on the San Francisco 49ers whose name is Debo.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure
because
it's not a nickname.
Niggers.
I think it's his real name. It's Debo.
And he's probably, and if you think about, if you, hold on a second, if you think
Debo
about.
Debo Samuel, that's his name.
No, but hold on. Think about what year it is and what year that movie came out and how old this nigger is. Yeah. He's probably named after the movie.
I'm sure he's named after Debo.
He's named after Debo.
That's my bike.
It's like, it could be like both of our bikes, but we'll just keep it at my house. You know.
I mean, that I got to give credit to his parents because they were not parents. Yeah. Yes, his parents. Mom was his thinking like, well, grandma. That will protect him from right. like the other niggers by being named Debo. They won't fuck with him.
Yeah, and the other niggers from Detroit are like, it could be like our NFC championship. We'll keep it at my house. And they're like, yeah. No, we're the NFC champions. Debo stole your championship. Oh, anyway, that just tickles me. Like, the nigga's name is fucking Debo. I should actually look. Is that his actual name?
Probably.
Let me fucking...
Niggas have the dumbest fucking names, dude. It's getting more ridiculous. You know what? Oh,
God, he looks like a Debo,
there
too.
There is Debo. He's a big, huge football player.
Where's his Wikipedia?
I mean,
okay. I don't know if that's...
Debo Samuel?
I want to know what his, like, birth name is, if it's Debo
it's
or...
It's Debo!
Okay, no... No, it's Tyshon Raekwon Samuel. Tyshon Raekwon, and then Debo is in quotes.
You know something though? Hold on a second. I want to say this though.
So that means he was running around beating people up and stealing their bikes. He got the nickname Debo, right?
Because like, I'm assuming,
like,
yes.
Like, generally nicknames are like they're like performance based nicknames. Right. His name is Debo. I was honestly expecting that to be on his birth certificate, Debo Samuel.
Sure.
Maybe
he looks like Debo. Does he look like that?
He looks like a big stupid nigger.
Well, there you
so
go.
I guess so.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't have the charisma of Tiny Lister.
Here's something I'm going to say, though. I want to say this.
Yeah. Tyshon Raekwon.
These niggers with these fucking absurd names like this, I'm completely supportive of that. And I know it doesn't really matter if I support it or not. And the reason is because that's like something that's like their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it separates them from us. Like, we don't. Name white people don't name kids like these absurd, like, collections of syllables.
Braden
and that's kind of stupid.
Declan,
that's an Irish name.
Madison.
Well, these aren't names that they're kind of gay, but they are.
These are Swipple names from like 15 years ago.
Well, you want to know what's funny?
Yeah,
the Swipple names. The thing that's it's so annoying, all Swipple hipster, whatever you want to call it, all that shit.
Stuff he's, white people like. Actually, for those, hold on, we might have new listeners. Swipple refers to the stuff white people like.
We haven't
blog.
Used that word in
no,
a long
we
time.
Used to call people Swipples that were insufferable, over signaling, like white.
But you know what?
Liberals.
Like, I've sort of become like.
Swipple.
There's actually a lot of people in our thing who have very much Swipple type preferences and tastes because.
Yeah, like
in
if,
fact,
you have, like, if you have like a
just,
stupid mustache
just, no,
and you
started,
like craft beer.
They just started owning it. They're like, yes, these. Because we always point out, like, all the stuff that is in that sphere, like the hipster, Swipple, whatever sphere, it is basically just people trying to, like, recapture things that are white. And they're doing it ironically because associating yourself with things that are white is low status, so you have to kind of do it in, like, an ironic fashion. But if you think about it, if you actually look at the list of stuff white people like, none of it's bad. Like, there's none of it's something you shouldn't be interested in or you would be bad for being into. It's like the great outdoors, like exercise, good beer, good food. You know, it's like, like there's nothing wrong with any of these things. And frankly, those names, I guess, like, you can make fun of them, but Declan is an Irish name or a Celtic name. It's not like something new made up. Madison.
Is this Ireland?
Kind of gay, but...
What? I'm sorry, I never heard the name Declan until like 5-10 years ago. And I just thought it was one of these obnoxious, like, random syllables that white people were putting together.
No, but they're not
because
random. No,
I'm just so
no.
sick of, like, Mark and all these biblical names.
Hold on.
I don't want to name Matthew. John.
Hold on a
Mike.
Second.
What about Declan? Yeah, it's not like Aiden. Let's just throw syllables together, but no apostrophes, because we're good people.
A lot of those names. First of all, a lot of niggers are named Aiden too. But like, a lot of those names
aggravates me though, because I remember back in the day, Aiden was not a common name, and it had a certain charm to it. And now it's like a cringe name. Like, you don't want to be named Aiden.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just fucking old.
I'm increasingly like I'm not falling into these traps. Like, if people. if white people want to give their child like kind of a somewhat cringy, more like European old school name or something, I don't care. And if you think that like biblical names, like normal names or whatever, like, dude, back in the day, you go back to like the South, like 200 years ago, or even like the North, or even just like England, and these niggas were named like Jedediah and shit like that. Like, they were naming themselves, like, not niggers, but like white people. They were naming them, they were giving like these super biblical, like prophetic names, which I find kind of cringy. Like, people be named Ezekiel and shit like that. It's like, bro, like.
Oh, no, I grew up with people like that. Yeah. One kid's name is Isaiah. My best friend, his name is Levi. His brother was Luke. None of these were Jews.
Levi. These were like, someone non-Jewish named Levi. Yeah, that's cringy as fuck. That's way more cringy than Indian or Declan.
The thing was, it wasn't like it was just the one kid. It was like there was Levi.
Were these people Luke, super, like, LARPy evangelicals?
Rebecca, super religious. Just the whole fucking family has nothing but hardcore biblical names. Yeah. And I knew more than one family like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it goes, but like, everybody had that name back in the day. You just look at like old politicians from the South, they're all like,
so I was looking just Jeremiah now for like a, I was looking for a list of like cringy like upper middle class white people, what do we call that, oven middle class white people names, and instead I found this wonderful like social justice post on Medium, and I just want to reiterate, this is what you're up against out there. This is who you can't, this is the dragon you cannot slay. Concerning names, an open letter to Western seekers with Sanskrit names. Hashtag social justice post. Hashtag trigger warning. Hashtag white supremacy. Hashtag patriarchy. Hashtag racial harm. Can I ever use that one? Can we use racial harm? Can you do racial harm to whites? Well, you should, right? Is that how that works?
Well, the whole thing, this, all of this shit is set up to
this
harm
is all
us.
This is all racial harm.
Yeah, this is all racial targeting, this whole fucking essay. But
when you read this, please do what you need for self-care. Right there, like, these are people that consciously are aware that they need to take care of themselves because they're mentally fragile and are easily, I don't know.
I'm actually, my view on that shit is that, like, nah, this is
you're just extremely fragile.
No, I think it's a fucking act. These are vicious fucking people. These are vicious, nasty, disgusting people. And you know, this whole self-care shit, it's literally weaponized.
I will do my best to keep this as real and raw as you know me for, while also keeping in mind the vital importance of revealing the depth of how far white supremacy goes
to
protect
that,
itself.
Like, in this world we live in,
the depth of how far white supremacy goes to protect itself.
No.
White supremacy never protects itself.
Hold on a second, though. When did this come out? I'm just kind of curious.
2021.
Okay, it's close enough. Whatever. November 28th. It would have been any time in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, in this world we live in, with the myriad of problems and issues that are going on all the time, constantly, that what you feel like doing, this person that wrote this essay, what they feel like spending their time doing is nitpicking, like, baby names in order to find, like, a unique novelty take.
There's no baby names in this. Whatever. This is totally off topic.
Oh, well, whatever. But, okay, my point is, whatever it is they're nitpicking, I don't even know what it is. But, like, whatever
it
is.
That's why I was going to read it to you.
Okay, I know, but let me just finish the point, because it stands no matter what they're doing. That they are, like, digging deep into, it's like your whole thing of like, let's see how deep it goes for white supremacy to protect. Well, how deep are you going to find something anti-white? Like, how much investigation did you do to find some novelty take for something you could attack white people for? Like, of all the things that are happening, this is what you've chosen to do. This is where you want to put your efforts. This is where you're putting your focus. This is where you're putting your energy. And then you're acting like you're both hero and victim for doing it. And it's fucking disgusting. Like, I really wish you were as fragile as you pretend. I really wish you were.
I submit that they actually are.
They might be
enabled by a system that protects them from the bullying they deserve. This is the outgrowth of the stop all bullying stuff in schools. This is like revenge of the nerds. People that would not have made it through social hazing
are now in charge of a lot of elite things, and this is how they are. They talk about self-care. They talk about what are those, like, therapy pets? What do they call those?
Service animals?
Service animal. Like, these people are serious. Yeah,
these are people who also commit mass murder, like, at the drop
of a
hat.
These people are mentally ill and unstable, yes. And they have a lot of emotional problems. This is the sort of the thing I was thinking about the other day. I was thinking about... I was thinking about homos and trannies and shit, and how you see them presented as this, like, this thing you should support, and it's so wonderful. And you look around, you know how we look at the U.S. elite in the State Department, for instance, you've got these, like, brown women. They're all disgusting and horrible, and they're, like, all snarky and shitty. And the only time you see a white male is if he's a fag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, right? Like Matthew Miller, yeah.
So, in trannies, we don't really have, I don't know. If you see, like, trans people and they're in, like, weird, like, they're in weird, like, tech utopia jobs we were talking about. They're, like, programmers and...
Yeah, that's where the...
You know, they anything do all
where
this
they,
stuff.
Things where they can be seated all day, so, like...
Yeah, but they're like, this mysterious, like, very powerful positions. Like, they can go and attack websites they don't like, and they just have clout.
I'm almost positive that's, like, the CIA.
They have the ability to make, like, calls and get these things done.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I was thinking about, like, that's the presentation. Like, that's part of the... like, the gay and tranny, like, sales is, like, look how you get to be, like, one of these cool people on TV. You know, you get, maybe you'll have, like, weird purple hair with the side of your head shaved, and you'll be on, like, some chef show with Guy Fieri, and they'll put you out there.
Oh, but I think they like reality, to sell them the image of themselves as hackers.
See, this is, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But, like, so these people, they have all these spots, and they're celebrated in media, but, like, what is the reality for a gay or trans person? Just like mental illness and misery,
disease,
and the total failure in, like, human relationships,
and, like, compulsions,
inability to really connect with anybody, because all day long it's just, like, your genitalia and sex, and that's all you think about, and your self harm and your self care, because that's what you're somebody who you legit need care.
Yeah, they do, like, a self harm self care. Like,
your
spiral,
life is,
like,
your life is self harm.
Yeah, yeah, there's because you're between because the you've two constantly. Yeah,
you've convinced yourself you're some kind of tranny gay person, and the message you get from the television, and the internet, is that you're important. You're not just valid. You're in charge. You're superior, but in reality, like, there's only room for, like, one, what's his name, Ned Price?
Yeah,
there's only room for, like, one fag to do that job. You can't be that fag, so you're basically you're going to be like one of the niggers scrounging around, one of the fags scrounging around for prep, like, maybe you can't afford it. You're gonna die of, like, some horrible sex disease, and your family doesn't like you, nobody around you don't like yourself. Like, that's the real reality of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's who these people are. And there's a system. There's this system props them up and makes in place make believe that they are some kind of vicious. Like, they're vicious in the way that, like, they're like desperate rats. They're not a vicious predator you're scared of. They're like, oh, that thing might be carrying plague, and if you get a whole bunch of them together, they might, like, indiscriminately, like, run you over and make the whole area unsafe for you. But it's not like they're, like, an apex predator that you can be intimidated by. No, that apex predator is Zionism in the American system. The Jewish, like, media foundations.
Well, this is the whole point of
the whole thing.
Setting,
like,
them
takes
up
these
in
people
those
and
positions.
Puts these people in this. Yeah. Makes basically, it's all to make your kids want to emulate these people so that they become sterile, so that your race gets killed.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. Like, this is for destroying the country. Right. Not that there's much there to begin with, but that's what it's for. And if you get tricked into being one of these people, it's just a form of surrender. And the trick is, they give you, like, this sense that you're fighting for something. You're pretending you're oppressed. You are favored. Like, if I go on Medium and if I sign up for Medium and I wrote a response calling this person, like, some kind of tranny faggot, whatever, I'd probably get thrown off of it for saying so, because you're protected. Because no one's allowed to bully you. No one's allowed to put you in your place when you're like this. When you talk about self-care, I should be allowed to just mock you until there's no self-care that will work anymore. Because that's how the world used to work. This would happen to you in middle school. You would be bullied into you would either change and stop being such a faggot weirdo, or you wouldn't make it.
Well, the other thing is, though, that...
And people think that that's cruel. It's because, like, people think it's cruel don't have actually power, but people saw that as, like, ooh, here's something we can harness for fucking total societal destruction. Let's pretend that it's cruel to, like, sort of, like, browbeat this out of people, and let's enable these weird self-care, sex obsessed perverts and these, like, weaklings.
Well, if you're
and
Jews,
let's hold them up and pretend they're the standard that everyone should aspire to, and anyone who doesn't like it, they're gonna get not bullied, but they're gonna get removed. Oh, you keep sighing. I'm sorry. Am I talking too much?
No, no, no. I'm not saying. I'm waiting for you to end. Is Alex the one saying, or was I saying?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have a whole thing on. I mean, I've been talking. Basically, my point here is that these people are. It obviously makes sense to set these people up as a class of functionaries because they don't have. They're alienated and have hatred for the rest of society.
Yes.
So it's perfect if you're destroying society to put people that are fundamentally social rejects as like a class of functionaries above like normal people, because you're going to create endless friction and tension. And you're also going to, basically, it is social destruction to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, obviously, these people are set up as favored.
That spiteful mutant, like, Janissary thing, everybody understands how that works. Because the other thing is, like, those people are going to be very loyal to you as in the system because you're the only person giving them the fucking power.
Right, because if the system that empowers them collapses,
mentally,
then a normal, like, normal traditional society... Or just basic, normal, decent values will just exclude you, and you'll be back to self-harm and nothing else.
That's one of the reasons why they cry so hard on Twitter right now, is because the Janissary protections they used to have somewhat evaporated. So now they just get dogpiled by people who are like, no, y'all fucking suck.
Yeah.
And no one.
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show, and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Likes you.
Right.
Fuck
they
off.
I know that's true.
Because that's the natural response.
So I'm curious about this Sanskrit name.
Yeah, I have chosen to keep the name of the person visible in the screenshot. So basically, this person posted emails with somebody violating their privacy, but
so they chose to keep it invisible.
So you can go. Right. So you can go help me harass.
So,
this.
So you're
very subtle.
Private emails online. Cool. Yeah. Like that's nice.
And no one
good
did
job.
Anything about it. I wonder why. I wonder if you're.
Well,
like
it's
a
it was
person.
Brave. This was a brave step. Like this person had to like think about doing self care and self harm, and then they published private emails and private contact information.
The next line is the excuse. I've kept the name visible in the screenshots who sent the emails to provide an opportunity for white supremacy to be held accountable. And the community decide what the next best thing to do in the situation.
You're just calling for someone to be harassed.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Whether that is actual accountability or to once again let another white man off the hook for expressing his privilege to actively harm in the shadows. And I'm sure that this like white person is like some kind of effete like butt fucking faggot that's doing everything he can to bend over backwards for this shitty ideology and is getting basically you're getting a not good enough. From you know, you're not being a good ally. Yeah, I'm sure he's an ally.
Why would when you are out there, when those people who do try to accommodate themselves to this power structure try, this is something about power dynamics that I think people like the kind of people, like let's be honest, kind of people listening to our show who are essentially excluded. Like as white men and as white men with our views that express them, we are completely and 100% excluded from power structures and even from like the basic like online services that normal people can get. But when you work to accommodate it, all you're telling them is like you've already won and you don't need to do any work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so why should they get like it's literally like when you're begging for mercy, there's already no reason for you to get it. And the only reason to get it is if the person that can delve it out has some shred of decency, and these people don't. So you're begging for mercy from, like, the least sympathetic people, mentally ill lunatics who hate you because you, every time they see you, you are a reminder of what they're not and what they can't be and what they don't really want to be but what they do want to destroy. So it's just a win. Like, you know, yeah, but anyway, go forward.
During a recent experience with an anti-racism training, a white man who is also a facilitator, quotes there,
okay, so yeah,
in the ART,
exactly,
sent me a letter that was obnoxious, threatening, and so foul it sent me over the roof with how could this guy be an ART, in an ART as a facilitator, and be so effing racist himself. I reached out to the heads of the ART, and only one person responded, another white male facilitator. We set up a meeting the day I received the obnoxious email, and in the meeting, the white male, WM, began doing this thing that men do to protect each other, blame the victim. So basically, I'm just going to assume that this is, as you expect, an obnoxious person.
This is someone who's crazy, causing issues, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically, these probably aren't white men. I wonder if they're Jewish men.
I'm wondering that, too.
Or they're either fags or Jews. But I'm sure they're doing everything they can, and this person just won't take yes for an answer. And this is kind of the other.
Well, that's
they
a flex.
Do. Yeah, it's a flex.
Like never being satisfied. And
basically, this is what you should do when you hear about Republicans doing anything about immigration.
Absolutely. No, do this it, level of
copy
shit,
this girl.
Like, this level of shit that this person is doing is like all power games. Like all this stuff. Like you're actually betraying the very thing you're supposed to be helping. I'm just trying to call you out. You're doubling down, and like never, like literally every time, the more they try to appease you, the more they're actually doing the bad thing. Like you will rocket straight to the top with this type of shit.
At the end of an hour long conversation, of which I have the video of, and we'll be posting excerpts for training purposes. After all the "it's just that" and the "if only you would" and "he was" and "maybe if you would," I finally shared with him that what he was doing was akin to talking with a man who just beat his wife and then asking the woman, giving her advice to not make him beat her so bad the next time. Y'all, it was gross.
What actually happened here, though?
We're going to go down to the screenshots and find out. I don't really know. This is weird, but we're just talking about how anti-race training.
What does that have to do with Sanskrit, though?
No.
Okay.
We're all discovering this together.
Okay, all right.
I told you, I stumbled upon this while I was looking for obnoxious white people.
Oh, remember Stumble Upon?
No.
Me either. No one does, because that site never really went anywhere.
One of the things I did realize and ask out loud to the head guy I had a meeting with was, do you know how to hold white men accountable for racial harm? He did not have an answer, and it hit me. White men, y'all don't know how to hold each other accountable, because you never had to. It is literally written in your bones, protect each other. Kill the witch, save the man.
So hold on a second. What? Oh. If it's written in our bones, I mean, dude, I could play these games all day, but like, if it's just how we are, then like, respect existence or expect resistance.
Yeah.
Like, if white men are just like this, then we're like this. So literally respect our existence.
As we progress into the next level. As we progress in the next level of humanity, that's what somebody they think this is a next level. It's like not. This is destruction.
Wait. So, again, you're putting us on a lower level of humanity. Isn't that the definition of supremacy?
Yes, you're the lower level of humanity until you are more accepting and you're more humble and you accept all these other weird things to be the norm and you're just out.
Nah, or let's just not. I'm just not going to do that.
They do this through accountability. So as we progress to the next level of humanity where accountability and social justice is being served publicly, I ask all of you reading this to help write a guidebook for men to learn how to hold each other accountable for racial harm, abuse, incest, rape, domestic abuse, femicide, environmental abuse, war, bro dude packs, good old boy codes, and all the things that men have protected each other from being held accountable for Jews. But it's basically like, it sounds like you have a problem with Jews. All those things are just, like, Jewish.
But hold on a second.
Like, no. Bro dude packs, good old boy codes, that's, like, you mean Jewish nepotism? That you're misidentifying as white supremacy?
White people would do that stuff, too.
A little bit, but they don't But they don't do it to the level of abuse that's all these things that she listed happen. Like, that's when Jews are in control.
Well, hold on a second.
Jews in control.
I'm not...
Abuse, incest, rape, domestic abuse, and femicide?
Oh, yeah.
That's all war?
That's Jew stuff, yeah.
It's all Jew stuff.
I'm not falling for the trap that like good old boy networks and bro dude packs are like harmful. I'm like, sorry, that's just how society works.
Well, we don't have any.
We're trying to have
that, but we don't have it. White people do not have those things.
Not right now.
In the West. No. It's all Jewish. Right?
I don't care about opposing
things on principle. I'm not talking about principles right now. But what's actually happening?
Yes, okay, yeah.
The West is a dude bro social network of Jewish power.
Yeah.
No one else. So when these people say that they're using that to fight us, hold us accountable for a thing we're not doing.
Yeah.
Hold me accountable. Like, believe me, if I get in control, yes, I will abuse you.
But it's
you will not have rights under like whatever this like weird
tranny brown
thing is. Like, no, you won't have rights here. We'll ship you back.
The thing is, it would be an explicit system, and it would be explained and written down. Like, no, we just don't accept you because of this.
We want to have other white males here.
Well, it's entirely possible that there would be like some new weird thing we never would have thought of that might emerge that we would just on instinct be like, yeah, that's also just going to be excluded because we don't really need to explain why. But yeah. But,
I don't have to oppose or support things based on any principles whatsoever. I don't have to do that. The principle is anti-Jewish, anti-Zionism. Like, anything that's happening, I'm not going to sit here, like, if we talk about, like, just take, like, any kind of economic meddling. Like, I don't, you know, I don't like this policy we're doing. Well, I'm not really against the federal government. It's like, I'm not either, but I don't like this one. And I oppose it. And I oppose it because the people that are running this country are Jewish. And I don't want them to hurt us.
You know why I said that, though? You know why I kept saying that?
Because you're obnoxious?
No. I mean, I'm not excluding the fact that I might be obnoxious, but the reason I kept saying that is because so often people
are autistic.
In our
and they think like if you said a thing one time and you're not consistent, it's like you're right, I'm not consistent.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm consistently? Pro-white, anti-Jew. Yeah. So basically, if I need to have a good old boy network to be pro-white, like I'm going to do that. But this obviously. Jew, but no brown person is going to accuse me of having a good old boy network that's holding them down. Like, no, fuck you. There's a good old Jew network. It's pretending the it's like helping you out, well, pretending you're oppressed while it is using you to oppress me. So
what
fuck you,
what this person has is a weapon that has been created by Jewish networks to attack like white men to keep them to prevent them from competing with them. I mean, the very fact that you have white men like engaged in like facilitating anti-racism that can then have their position even doing that, something that gay. Be vulnerable to somebody like you. Again, also, I don't know. It's entirely possible this person is just so crazy that they were even excluded from this anti-racism, but whatever.
I doubt it.
I'm just, like, fucking curious where the Sanskrit comes
into this. I think it's because the name is, like, Trez, T-R-E-S. I don't know. So what are we doing here? The two screenshots. And these two screenshots are an email from the white male facilitator who was not held accountable for his harm. He was not kicked out. He was protected, and I was the one that was blamed for him writing the email. So you were obnoxious, and he wrote you an email to try to calm you down. Probably the email was probably extremely conciliatory, but I don't think we're going to see the first. Please note, the time between the original email and the apology was 1 week. 1 week since the time in between was spent with me fighting to get an apology. Wow, that's behavior people like. And when I decided to go public with my experience, the apology came within a few hours. Oh, interesting. After much thought and many discussions with mentors, making the emails public as a teachable moment is necessary action to bring awareness to this level of harm. Why the email? I asked him questions about his Sanskrit name. I asked him if it was his given name. It's not. His name is Kevin. Okay. I asked him if he named himself or bought the name. He began to get defensive and said he was named by Hindu nuns. As my questions began to get more prodding and as he began to get more defensive, the white male head of facilitator stepped in and stopped the line of inquiry. To me, I was wondering, what on earth would a white guy who chooses to use a Sanskrit name as a replacement for his real name be doing in ART? Yet there he was. When I posted the experience in a Facebook group doing the work to educate about Hindu phobia. One of the comments stated the first email is very much Hindu phobia, as Sanskrit is neither a culture nor a belief system. It's a language, full stop. We have Hindu phobia now. We have the Hindu phobia lives within the privilege of benefit from the culture, using the name from the culture, doing nothing to help protect the culture, all while going right up to the edge of the culture without really claiming it. Hindus for decolonization. So is this an Indian lady? I think it's got 10 times worse. Oh, my God. They invented a new word, Mike. Hindu.
I'm reading this now, and I'm just like...
Decoloniality. Oh, you're reading the email?
Well, okay. Here's my fucking thing. You fucking... Go back to your own goddamn country. You actually... You want to know what's funny?
But now I have to read this entire email like this. Hindu decoloniality.
Look, please do not be doing... A compilation of tools to hold with socially accountable. Look, listen, you fucking Pajit bitch. There is literally a Hindu supremacist government in India right now. Go back there. There's 900 million of you fucking street shitters in that country where, like, Hinduism is the cultural norm and is, in fact, the supremacist social system. And you know what? Like, you don't have to deal with any white dude who maybe wants to have like a LARP or something like that over there. Because even that guy, if he actually went there, would be so overwhelmed with the smell of fucking feces that he'd come back home. Because he'd be like, oh yeah, maybe I don't want to actually do this. Like, this is another level of fucking.
So he goes by Kalyan. So Kevin has taken the name Kalyan. And we have an Indian.
And let's also talk about this for a second. Let's talk about this for a second. You fuck. Like, why would a white guy want to do this? And this is something white people generally have been doing. And also, this is something that tends to a more upper middle class or white people, aspirational white people that want to be part, that want to be part of elite systems. They do stuff like this. They, oh, the whole, like, I'm actually Native American, or I was named by Hindu nuns, or I had this experience, I had this experience. And all they do, all that happens when you do that, is you reaffirm these stupid white supremacist narratives, these narratives that you're privileged, you get to, like, exploit, take advantage of these other cultures while at the same time, like, somehow destroying them. Like, first of all, Hindu culture has no roots in America. Why are you here? There's a whole fucking subcontinent of Hindus.
It's huge.
There's a lot of you people.
There's a lot of room.
There's a big, I don't know how much room there is, because there's a ton of you people fucking wandering around.
No, there's going to be room.
There's
if,
so much.
If Greg Abbott gets his way, there'll be room, because you'll be in Texas.
Yeah, emptying it out and bringing, you really owe your existence here to fucking, so it's
to
just like, it's like, why, yeah, no, for real. Like, it's like, this bullshit is like, you know, it's just, it's like what you're doing is you understand that having some kind of unique novelty non-white identity is a key to some kind of power and influence over here. So you don't give a shit about Hindu culture either. You don't actually care about these things. All you're doing is you were fortunate enough to have the brown skin and the stupid fucking name. The white guy's like, I don't have brown skin and a stupid name, so I'm going to at least give myself a stupid name and hope that maybe I can ascend the ladder. But, oh, now I get called out for taking on a dumb name instead of my own name because, like, it's like, look, when there's one group of people that's, like, changing their names and code-switching and disguising who they are in order to ascend the ladder, that's the oppressed group. That's the group that's oppressed.
White supremacy often acts in the shadows, and when we are unafraid to hold people to account publicly, they are less likely to harm.
Well, here's my question. What was the harm, actually, and what are you accomplishing here? Like, let's say, like, this white guy, like, changes his name, right, back to something different, like, starts going by Kevin again, right? What have you won? You haven't really won anything. All you've won, and this is what you're there for, this is what you're there for, this is all the only reason you, a Hindu person in the West, someplace you don't belong, someplace you are not native to, someplace where you're coming here as an alien, as an invader, as a trespasser, and you're using systems of power that were put in place by other people to actually step on and oppress people like Kevin. So what happens if Kevin changes his name or you win in this little struggle between yourself and Kevin? Kevin's out of a job. That's it. That's the only thing that happens. So there's another white guy, and I'm sure Kevin's a total faggot piece of shit, right? But the point is,
arguing about yoga.
There's another white guy who's out of a job or out of a system in which he's, like, climbing some steps up a ladder to having some kind of social influence. It's just another white person without any power, which is the point of you, the invader, the alien, the trespasser, the interloper, being here to use this language you're using, this whole system of coded language you're using, is a power structure. It's a power structure that was set up by Jews to demote and remove white men and white women too from competition for power from them. That's the role you, the Hindu, the brown person, the street shitter, the Pajit, the non-belonging person, the actual colonizer, that's the role you take when you come here. The other. You are the other. I'm otherizing you, and you should go to another country, your own, India, where if you want to talk about Hindu culture, it's all over there. Shut the fuck up.
I'm reading these emails. I'm on the girl's side now. This guy's a faggot.
Oh, I'm sure he's a faggot.
She saw through your bullshit. She called you out.
Oh, okay. So my whole rant there was just so we can throw it in the trash.
I mean, basically what you're saying is, like, at the core of it. But
yeah,
he's just one of these guys that's like, oh, I'm gonna be an enlightened. It's like George Harrison.
Well, he's
crap.
A victim.
It's like, you're a faggot. Like,
he's
you're,
a faggot.
You fell for the Maharishi fucking let's play the sitar and fucking pretend we're awakened.
Oh, so yeah, that's
like,
gay.
It's like, just go to church.
That's
faggot.
Actually
just go to fucking church.
That's actually gay.
Go pray to Jesus. That's where all the that's
or
the
pray to Wotan or something.
Something
I
that's
care,
actually like part of your fucking. Part of your fucking people's history. He says, this is the second email.
I mean,
after he's
just so you understand.
Just read the final.
One second.
I just want to read the final fucking paragraph
before
of this apology.
Do that,
okay.
I want to say, my rant was not a defense of this individual guy. But the system, no, the system that churns yeah, right. people like this system, out yeah. is what I'm attacking. Like there's tons of fucking gay-ass, shitty white people that fall for it. And they fall for it because they want power. They want power and influence, so they do this dumb shit. And it's not going to work. It's so he's like,
I apologize for the manner in which I responded to your comments about my name during a Building Bridges session. Having talked to numerous God. People about this, I've considered deeply, I believe I've begun to understand where I went wrong. Since I've had no communication from you, blah, 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 blah. I apologize for using my privilege as a white male to presume to try and teach you how God. To think about this topic. See, that's the problematic shit. I further apologize for bringing up your ancestry, which I am guessing made you feel like I was yet another white male oppressing you. Is she oppressing you right now, faggot? Blah, 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 blah. No excuse for causing harm, helping you educate me, blah, blah, blah. I would like to offer you an explanation for why you're explaining you're losing. That's why I'm on her side now. You're losing. I would like to offer you an explanation for why I felt the need to write the email in the first place.
Oh my God.
You struck a very deep chord in me when you asked about my name. You struck a very deep chord in me when you called me out as a fucking poser and a fucking yeah. lawyer and a fucking tourist.
You struck it like a deep sitar chord, like a twangy, kind of like a twangy chord. Like
My children were given My children were given Sanskrit names by yogic monks and nuns. My marriage vows were spoken in Sanskrit. Every week, I take a sacred oath in Sanskrit to spread the teachings of my guru to the world. Every moment that I'm aware, I am repeating a Sanskrit mantra. My name is my sacred mission in life. I want to thank you again for reminding me how important that is to me. I did not act towards you in a way. Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener-funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks. That followed my path. It seems clear that I did not aid you in your spiritual welfare. For that, again, I apologize. Well, she didn't aid you either. She called you a fraud. She said you're faking it. She said you're doing it because you're a white male and you want to invade a new space and oppress. So the question is, like, are you really dedicated to this Sanskrit mantra that you speak every moment aware? Is your name your mission? Or is your mission to just go along and get along in this fucked up system?
Your mission is kind of to be just gay and hope you don't get noticed.
Yeah, but she noticed.
I'll say,
and she's right. You have no business doing that stuff. That's not you culturally.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean,
a bunch of Hindus are telling you no. Like maybe they're right.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest. So I'm also kind of like, it is dumb, and I think it's kind of like silly. But if a white dude wants to do like some fucking like Hindu shit, like I don't really care that much if you want to do like religious LARPing stuff. Like it's definitely not the end of the world, but it's not something that's like the level of what this person is made. All racial harm. There's no racial harm. Let's be honest. Like there's no, like, this is so dumb. Like if this some white dude wants to like go and get some Hindu guru and go on some like fucking bullshit enlightenment journey path out there to India or something like that, like he's not hurting anybody, honestly, except maybe his parents who might be deeply disappointed or something. You know, like it's dumb. It's all stupid. Now,
well, I mean, he's hurting me. The cringe level is definitely hurting me.
That's true. But you know, sometimes it's good for your abs. You know, you get like that hit workout on your abs from the cringe. You know, you get that high intensity interval training. You're like, like you just get, you know, you get ripped from that. But like, yeah. But generally speaking, I'm also like, you know, another thing I kind of reject from this is that like white people can't ever like even take an interest in another culture, which is stupid. Like people take interest in other cultures. They want to learn about them and understand them, like to some extent. The thing with whitey right now is that like we're told that everything in our culture is like shit. It's garbage. Like and in fact, the lie that's told is that it's promoted as the supreme. But everywhere they tell that lie is in an elite institution. Like, I saw these Jews, this Jewish broad the other day, I saw this tweet from Jewish broad who's part of something called, like, it's some books project. And they basically got, like, the Odyssey removed from some literary canon.
Sure.
And they were, like, big win. I'm like, at that point, when you do this, when you sit there and you say it's a win, and it's called like it's like decolonizing the literary canon or something like that. I'm like, no. What you are doing is you are destroying
literary canon.
Our cultural history. Ours. I don't give a fuck. Hindus have their literary canon, I'm sure. They've got like whatever little tablets with little scratch marks on them or whatever they got, right? Whatever the fuck they want. Whatever they got. Taking the Odyssey out of a book,
I bet if I moved to their country, they would like make my kids learn their literary canon.
Yeah,
although
right.
We don't have a country, right? This country's for everybody.
But maybe you just shouldn't move here. Like, it's just, I mean, the thing is, well, I want to see what this, what was this thing? It's like, okay, a case to stop teaching. I searched it and it
teaching
says like
the Odyssey.
By Lenhart Stevens. I'm going with Jewish.
Lenhart
Stevens. Yeah. So this is a thing that this is like a thing that has been going on, and they trigger like you know like they've triggered like schizo conservatives with mm-hmm. this stuff, but those people have no idea how to understand and react to this because they're also those type of people are taught to react to this like it's like the people that are doing it are like special snowflakes or something like that, and they just make fun of them. For being like easily triggered snowflakes. Yes, the easily triggered snowflakes that's destroying your life. That's destroying your culture, destroying your heritage. But the problem is that these people, if you press on those type of conservatives, they would deny that their cultural heritage has anything to do with race either.
Hmm.
Which is nonsense. Like, the Odyssey is a European book. It's a European epic. It's a part of our culture. It's a part that's like deeply embedded in our even in our psyche and our subconscious. The Iliad and the Odyssey and these things. And these are like some of the building blocks, the foundations of our cultural reference points. So when you destroy them, you're destroying us as a people. That's what it's genocidal. Okay? It's genocidal. Taking these works out of our canon,
that's
or
why
removing
that's
them
why
from something. That's why Jews think it's a win. Because it's genocidal. Because they're genocidal freaks, as their own literary canon tells you when you read it.
Yeah.
You say, oh, here's our book. Here's our chronicle of being genocidal freaks for 5,000 years. That's basically the history of the Jewish people. Like, this is our chronicle of coming into conflict with every group that we came in contact with, and essentially having the resolution of that conflict being, we need to kill every member of this group or destroy them.
And then we did
it. Or enslave them. And then we did it. And our God gave us a pat on the head for doing it and said, this is great work. And anytime we failed to do it, God punished us for failing to actually kill every member of another society. That's essentially how Jewish morality works, okay? If you ever had any illusions about that, that's how it fucking works. So, but to teach, you know, that's the problem. It's like there's the other side of the coin where they sometimes they understand, like, okay, people are going to be upset when they see this and they're not going to understand it. So let's give the right-wing side of this, let's give them, like, some kind of, like, schizo explanation for this thing that they can... Oh, look at these special snowflakes, and then nothing happens because these people fundamentally don't understand power or how power works or how to get it or how to compete with Jews or how even elite systems work. They just don't understand it. They don't get how any of it works. They're totally at sea, and all they do is bitch, and in the end, that also just disappears. So, you know, it's just... It's very frustrating.
It is.
It's very
frustrating because we have to live with this every day.
And a perfect example. This is actually a good segue into like the Greg Abbott thing.
Mm.
Because we're already talking about a Pajit woman, and now we're talking about like...
And Greg Abbott is supposed to be like your anti-immigration, like, yeah, right-wing white hero, and this is what they're up to.
So for those of you that didn't know, Greg Abbott has been in India for the last week. When this border crisis thing is going on, the barbed wire, are they going to remove the barbed wire? Are they not going to remove the barbed wire? Now, objectively, legitimately, the barbed wire fencing, which has not been removed as far as I know, and the federal government has sort of like punted on escalating the confrontation there for now, but eventually they'll win. They've sort of refrained from like escalating it. They kind of, I think, know this is a stunt. And yes, border crossings are down in that area by like several hundred a day, which is, I guess, good. But that's also to the overall numbers, it's not that impactful. And they also know that. What's that?
Do they actually know that? I mean, don't they count encounters, which means they don't count the people?
Encounters are significantly down in that area. And they know it in that, like, the numbers of how they count whoever has been crossing. But remember, it's in Eagle Pass. It's in this Shelby Park, Eagle Pass, whatever. It's like a couple miles of territory where this is happening, and it's only in that area. And people are calling on Abbott to probably rhetorically, and I don't think he's going to do it, to like expand the places where he's done this. And the federal government has said no. Now, if he actually tried to do that, they would, in fact, go in and cut it down. And the excuse for cutting it down is because, like, some beaners, like, drowned on the other side. I'm like, well, frankly, when you see a barbed wire fence on the opposite bank of a river, don't try and fucking swim across. Because what are you going to do when you get across? There's a barbed wire fence there. You're obviously not going anywhere. So why are you swimming across? It's also a stupid fucking LARP. And then they're like, oh, the Border Patrol agents couldn't go rescue these people. That's the whole thing that spurred this. But expand the barbed, build more. But then the thing is, while he's doing that, Abbott goes to India. And why is he in India? I mean, there's this article in Axios. Where was it? I had it up. About, like, why is Greg Abbott in India? I think I can get it if I just... I had it on...
He's near sourcing jobs, right?
Right. So it says... So here's this... Of course, now if Axios would actually fucking load. Why Governor Abbott is visiting India? This is from a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Governor Greg Abbott is spending the week in India. So right in the middle of this whole border thing, he's not even in Texas. He's in India. Right. And so he's like, yeah, I'm shutting down all these massive illegal beaners flowing over the border.
Because we need our legal Pajits.
Because we need legal Pajits.
Right.
And this is with business leaders from Austin and around the state to boost trade and investment in Texas. Why it matters. Abbott, who recently made a trip to Israel, continues to blaze an international trail as he fashions himself as a global leader. No. If he visits Israel and then he visits India, what he's fashioning himself is as someone who's going to run for president. So he's going to Israel. He's going to India. He's doing a phony stunt at the border. He wants to run for president someday. He's establishing himself as a viable contender. He's saying, I'm going to pay obeisance to the Jews. I'm going to India to recruit cheap brown labor. And I'm doing a stunt at the border to get, like, you know, the white schizo vote. To get the white conservative, I shouldn't say schizo, to get the white conservative vote to trick white people into thinking something is actually happening at the border. Maybe we're going to get some actual immigration control. And this is where this legal versus legal thing comes in. Like, everybody knows about that. Like, never fall for that. Anybody talking about, I'm fine with immigration and just should be legal, that's dumb. Because what that means is Greg Abbott goes to India and he recruits another, like, 500,000 fucking Pajits to come to Texas and be cheap-ass brown labor in place of these fucking beaners. And, of course, when you're talking about Pajit labor, you're generally talking about, like, tech. Like, they do low-level tech shit. They do, like, you know, like, they do QA. They do, like, phone shit. Like, they're the most annoying people to deal with because they're at, like, the low level of any fucking tech support system, right? Right. So it says, Abbott began his 10-day trip Friday to meet with the country's government and technology leaders, the second time he has traveled to India. Texas business and economic development representatives joined the government in India, including Opportunity Austin CEO Edward Latson and its Vice President of Global Investment and Innovation, Corey Rose. The trip is sponsored and paid for by the nonprofit Texas Economic Development Corporation. Big picture, India holds the gaze of global corporations as they look for new sources of labor and revenue growth outside China. So, what does that mean? New sources of labor. Well, Greg Abbott, new sources of labor means one of two things, or both things.
This has been
insourcing and outsourcing. Bringing Pajits into Texas, or sending jobs that are already in Texas out to India. That's what it means.
This has been consistent with the so-called anti-immigration wing.
Yeah.
Of Republicans doing this Pajit stuff. I mean, that's
they
Howdy
love
Modi.
It. Howdy
Trump.
Modi.
That's what it was howdy, all about. That
Howdy Modi. We're saying howdy to Modi.
Yep.
Trump is in a stadium filled with fucking Pajits. Like where they're just stomping their feet and cheering for
them. They wanted to move all this manufacturing and stuff to India from China. They kind of wanted to divest from China.
Friend sourcing.
Yeah, and then bring people in here, too.
Sort of friend zoning, like friend sourcing.
Yeah. They want to get out of China, get into India.
And then, of course, we have... India has already overtaken China as the most populous country in the world. Oh, my God.
Has it really?
I didn't know that. But that's
is that like the raw number of the population, or is that like by pijits per square foot?
Yeah.
Meter.
It's the most densely populated. No, I believe it's probably raw numbers. Maybe there's more pijits than there are Chinese. Wow.
That's insane.
Here we go. In Central Texas, people of Indian origin comprise the largest share of international home buyers.
According Can we convert to them into people of Indian destination?
So here we go. According to an Austin Board of Realtors 2022 report. So obviously, Austin Board of Realtors is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, these Pajits, they're great. They buy homes.
Love a good Pajit.
And they buy homes because they have, frankly, Pajits have set up in America. Now, it's nothing compared to what Jews have. Jews have set up networks of actual power and decision-making. Pajits have set up networks of nepotism, racial nepotism, whereby they come over and there's a system
hotels
in place
and gas stations
for them to do like small business shit, right? For them to, they literally become mom and pop gang. They are literally replacing mom and pop gang.
Yep.
It's going to be like Pradeep and
so I was out and about. I was out and about last week, Thursday, I think. I can't remember. And I was doing some errands. I was in an area I generally don't go to, and I stopped at a deli I'd never been to around here to like get an egg sandwich. And I can't tell you how dismayed I was. I walked in and there was two fucking Pajits running the place. They're running the register. It was all like working class looking white people that were making food.
But like I think I know the place around here.
Yeah, but I went to
I know the place.
Yeah, when I went to pay, I'm like, it's like the it was a Pajit couple and they're both fucking on like they're like on like Bluetooth phones and like blabbing and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, what are you doing out here?
Is that the place with like the liquor store and laundry?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm like, what?
They own that whole fucking.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing out here?
Yeah.
Who let you buy this?
Yeah,
like nobody needs you to do this. Go back to New Jersey.
There's like four storefronts. They own all of them,
oh, that's
and they
terrible.
Walk between them. Because I've gone there for dry cleaning.
I will never go there again,
dude. What's so funny? I've gone there for dry cleaning
because
it's like the actual closest dry cleaner here.
Yeah.
And I go and then like they like check me out in like the fucking middle of the deli. Like they literally go and get the suit. Like they go, they have a back way through all those stores
because
there's a wine store and then there's the laundromat and that's where the dry cleaners is. But they don't do the dry cleaning; they send it out right, and they comes back.
The guy
tell you go into the laundry and they're like go over to the deli because that's where the register is. And then the guy comes, and he walks through the wine store through the back into the deli, and he like hey, he
just walk out to the car,
he hangs my suit up, and like the fucking lunch kind of meat,
like Blade Runner dystopia.
Well, it's just a shitty rural area,
yeah,
it's and then a bunch of Pajits moved in, and they bought a small business. So yeah, it's just like ugh.
Yeah, so all those businesses are one business. It's just like it's a deli with snacks and sodas, like a wine shop and a laundromat, and it's all run by the Pajits. And yeah, there's like the poor like, you know, there's like the girl behind the counter making the sandwiches. You know, I gotta be honest. Around here, every time I interact with like the white working class people, they're doing service jobs. They're generally like really nice and like really nice people. The place I go every day, you know, the place. Everyone that works there is awesome. I love those people. They're really cool.
Yeah.
Really nice people. But yeah, these Pajits. I remember, dude, the guy, when I first went there for dry cleaning, he said we call to ask when it's done. And I was like, all right. And he's like, call and ask for Kenny. I was like, are you Kenny? He was like, no, but just that, call me Kenny. Like, they do this shit. Ask for Kenny. But yeah, I know exactly that place, and it's like it sucks.
I was so annoyed. Like, why are there Pajits out here? Like,
of course there's Pajits.
This is too close to the New Jersey border, I guess. A couple of them spilled over.
Dude, everything's spilling over everywhere. I mean, we have friends of ours who are like, dude, I'm seeing like these new fucking newly come beaners like recently crossed beaners with their fucking government issued iPads and iPhones and shit like. And they're like whatever benefit cards they got, just like out and about all over the place around here now. It's just like Jesus Christ. They're really doing their best to spread this shit every fucking place. Like that shit is not letting up. So again, I hate to like be the rat at the garden party once again and to say, like, yeah, like, I get it. Like, the Greg Abbott thing, like, sure. It's like he's causing a temporary stall in some border crossings in one area of the Texas border. The rest of it is still unimpeded. Nothing is changing there. And, in fact, having maybe even a slight drop in border crossings in the immediate sense probably isn't bad for America, because at some point you need to stem the tide a little bit and let things stabilize, and then you can open things back up. And we're probably at that point. Like, they did it in Europe. They had a massive inflow in 2015, 2016. They shut it down for a few years, and now they've opened it back up. And they did that same thing in America, like COVID. But a lot of capitalism, remember, capitalism in America, you know, is dependent on a constant inflow of cheap fucking brown labor. Now, that is not actually overall beneficial to the economy, because overall, these brown people are a burden. They take more out of the state than they put in. But when you're one of these fucking companies that's employing them, you don't give a shit about that. That's not your problem. That's a subsidy to you. It's a subsidy to the employer when these fucking brown people get a bunch of state benefits, because then it's like, oh, they can bring their whole family over here. They can work for me for cheap as fuck, and I don't have to pay any of these benefits and expenses. The government will take care of it. It's a massive fucking subsidy.
I thought the incentive was that you had a tax break for a certain number of years when you came here and started your business. And the thing that a lot of them do is just interchange the family members. Yep. So they keep getting that tax break.
Yes. Yes. You start a business and they just restart the same business with, like, cousin Pradeep every couple years. There's a pipeline, right? And you know, other races too have stuff like this. They're not the only one. They sort of specialize, right? Like, but Pajits absolutely have a pipeline. I even knew a Pajit guy in New York City who talked about this. How there's all kinds of racial networks that they're tapping into that they work with.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
And of course they do, and no one has anything to say about it. And they benefit from all the shit that was actually, like, all the stuff that was passed in America with, like, dumbass liberal white people thought they were helping out, like, niggers. And, like, it, all it's done is, like, now mom and pop gang is literally, like, it's just, like, yeah, it's just, like, Pajit and Pradeep gang. It's just, like, you know, they're just, it's like Singh and Patel gang. Like, they're just, like, mom and pops is going to be completely taken over by fucking Pajits, you know? No, it's the worst, and Greg Abbott is facilitating that as he's like, hey, like, let's have less of these unskilled beaners and just, like, more of these, like, semi-skilled Pajits. We actually need more, like, skilled brown labor.
So the thing that's kind of interesting about this is you've got, like, these little cartels, these little groups of different races that do it. Like, let's see, you got the Filipinos that are in the nursing community. Like, that's what they do, is they've got their little nursing racket. Like, everybody gets to do this except white people.
Yep.
Like, whites are the only ones who don't actually do this sort of thing.
Beaners do it. I mean, beaners have, like, right now, one of the main
Garcia
groups that's, like, calling out Abbott. We talked about this before. You heard of, like, LULAC? Like, it's, like, Legion, like, of United Latin American Citizens. League of United Latin American Citizens.
Yeah, they just want to slam the door.
Open fucking racial. They don't want to slam the door. They want to keep it open, like, on racial grounds. Like, it's a racial advocacy group for beaners. Like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the beaners in Texas that don't want anymore.
Yeah, there are some of those, like the Tejanos. They're probably, generally speaking, like, whiter than the brown ones, but the brown ones are the ones that get all the advocacy. Like, the you know, there's also, like, there's probably a bunch of beaners that ultimately are, like, that's what they want. But in terms of the activism, there is racial activism that is openly racial activists for the race of people called Latino, which everyone knows what that is. You have a tough time. Oh, exactly. What is it? No, it's people who are, like, a little bit white, but mostly Indian, mostly, like, Mesoamerican, as we say, pre-Columbian, these pre-Columbians. You know, we all know what they are. We know what that is. When you say Latino, you know, the word sucks, whatever, but we all know what it means. We know who we're talking about when we say that. So that's a race of people, right? Or it's maybe two or three different races of people. But it's all racially done. All of it. Everything. Everything is.
Yep.
In this country. It's all racial advocacy. So white people, like, the racial advocacy for white people, like, this one's so annoying when you have, like, this very, it's very specific objection to white advocacy. And, I was talking to some guys the other day, and somebody put up a comment of somebody that they were arguing with, because apparently there's this dude on Twitter who is, like, melting down in Steve Saylor threads, and everyone's, like, making fun of him. There's some guy, he's, like, in a constant argument. And he's like saying, he's always saying it's all kinds of dumb shit. And he's like, oh, these guys have their charts and graphs, but it's a disguising hate or whatever. And this guy said was like, I don't know if it was this guy or was in a thread or something. Huck showed me this graph, or not a graph, a screenshot of a comment somebody made. And it's very indicative. It's very indicative. And it was spurred on by discussion about this guy on Twitter who is like freaking out at Steve Saylor posts and like whatever. It's very, he says like,
I know you're talking about. I've seen that.
Yeah. But I don't think it was this guy commenting, but the image that was shown, it was funny because it was like what the person said is this. I found it. It says this. What exactly? So he's responding to some white person who's like in the Steve Saylor thread, like trolling anti-racist people. Right. He says this. What exactly is the plan for convincing individuals born with the wrong genes to accept their inferior lot in society? The author seems to think that a policy of race realism would inspire conservative whites to an activist role in the interest of restoring whites to the top, when all evidence suggests whites would be displaced by Ashkenazi Jews, East and South Asians. So what I would say to this person is, first of all, race realism isn't a policy. It's just a worldview. It's just a way of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. It's just basically observing nature. Okay, race realism is just observation of nature. Now, a policy should take race realism into account. Otherwise, it's going to fail, or depending on what its goal is to achieve. Now, remember, Jews run America. Jews are the original race realists. Jews view everything through the lens of group categories and belonging to certain groups. So you're in your mind... In their mind, you've been categorized. They categorize themselves. They categorize you. The only people they sell with, like, let's get rid of categories, that's something they sell to whites to disempower them. They sell that to whites to disempower them. And these other groups have categorizations for themselves and act on those categories while they're allowed to. At some point, if they become too competitive with Jews, maybe they'll start smashing that category or pretending it doesn't exist. Like, Palestinian is another category they pretend doesn't exist. Palestinians are another group of people who are not supposed to categorize themselves. My point to this person is, like, you're obviously a race realist. Mm-hmm. If you're saying right. Ashkenazi Jews, East and South Asians would replace whites, that's a race realist outlook. Now, I don't think it's true, but it's also a supremacist outlook. So you don't seem to have a problem.
No.
With racial supremacy, racial categorizations, or race realism. What you have a problem with is white people. You seem to have a unique moral objection to white people acting as a race. Why? Why is that? And you also seem, and it's sort of like, also, question, why didn't you put blacks in there? Mm-hmm. The fact he didn't put blacks in that list of groups that would displace whites shows that you're a fucking race realist.
Yeah.
Like, you are. Like, if, why would, so wait, South East Asians but not blacks? Why not? Explain that to me. Hux was like, what's a good response to this? I was like, just say that. Just ask him why they didn't put blacks in. I'm asking to explain why. Like, we could go into all the moral objections of what this person said, but just if you wanted a funny immediate own, just be like,
where's the blacks?
Wait, why wouldn't blacks be displacing white people? Because the only answer to that is like, well, I'm a race realist.
Right.
Which everyone is. Because, you know, black people wouldn't displace white people. You know, black people are actually only... There is literally no black person that is more deserving of any position they hold than a white person would be. Like any position of power or influence or importance that a black person holds, there is objectively a white person better suited someplace.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is probably like somebody who's like generally speaking like in a lower tier of the white race as well. Could easily be a better fit. Like Lloyd Austin, this nigger.
I could be president of Harvard.
You could be defense secretary. Like, this nigger went to the hospital and no one cared.
Yeah.
Like, that was so funny. That story, like, disappeared because, like, the people trying to make some of it. No. He's just a dumb nigger that they put in that position as, like, a showpiece.
Yeah.
He didn't show up to work for a week and no one cared because he wasn't making decisions anyway.
I wouldn't accidentally say what the secret plan is in a press conference.
I know. All right. That's another problem. It was like, maybe you should just take a week off.
It's 1 week. 1 week without Lloyd Austin giving away secret plans of geopolitical strategy.
Right. Right. Yeah. There you go. That was the best thing. The funniest thing ever was watching like the Duran try and pretend like something was going on there, other than like the nigger didn't show up and no one cared.
Oh yeah. The Duran.
Well, I like watching that channel because like one, they actually do have good information, but two, it's like their copes on like explaining the geopolitical situation without telling you it's Jews and without talking about race. Fucking funny, very funny. It's just really funny. Whatever they brush up against us, whatever they do, they always do. Because they're talking about American foreign policy and the people that control it all the time. Like these people in Washington, this group in Washington. I'm like, yeah, who is it? Who is it? Who the fuck is it? You know who it is. Anyway, so this is the thing. It's like it's just like this. You know, you gotta understand. Like the racial fucking. Everyone knows this that listens to this program, but we can't repeat it enough. All of this stuff is uniquely directed at you. It's uniquely directed at you. This entire stupid Jew ideology. That's why you should hate Jews. And that's why you should not have any sympathy for them. And you should not try and like run to their rescue. Oh, no, Mr. Jew, I'll support Zionism. Oh, brown people are causing you a problem? Well, my thing is good. Good. These brown people have justice on their side. They have the right of it on their side. These are brown people that want to stay in their ancestral homeland where they belong. Jews want them all here. If Jews had their way, every single Arab would be moved here or to Europe. So who's your ally? Who's your ally and who's your enemy? That should be clear.
So was the argument that whites would be displaced because Southeast Asians and Ashkenazi Jews are smarter or something?
Presumably, something like that.
I see this argument kind of come up a lot. And the thing is, like, actually, due to the fact that whites are such a large proportion of the population, you must be excluding a number of them to have that kind of overrepresentation from, like, Jews. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's got to be, like, fucking 20 qualified whites that are of same or higher IQ
easily,
level.
Easily. White people, given the distribution of brains and talent amongst the white gene pool, like, yes, the overrepresentation of Jews is, like, inevitably coming at the expense of many, many qualified white people.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit more of, like, a sophisticated argument. And the thing is, what I would... You know, yeah, we should make that argument and explain these things. It's always good to explain this and get the numbers and the facts out there. Yeah, given the number of whites and that whole thing. But in the immediate sense, when somebody in an argument is saying things like this, I'm like, no. Just like, did you ever? Because what this person has done is they have imbibed anti-white assumptions through the media and educational institutions or whatever. And they're probably like a typical fucking... libtard or maybe even a conservative, because there's no reason to think that a conservative wouldn't say the exact same thing here. They're repeating Jewish bullshit, but they probably think they're really smart and they probably think they came up with it on their own. And they probably convinced themselves that this is like an edgy, different opinion. And they're like going against some kind of tide of like opinion that's happening right now. Right. That's another way Jews get these people, is they convince them there's some onrushing tide of this that they have to be like the lone voice in the wilderness, like standing up against it, when in fact they're just adding their voice to like a choir of people from elite systems that are just churning out this anti-white shit. And it's sickening.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so fucking fake. That's why I couldn't stay a leftist, because I taught often how I was a leftist in my youth. I couldn't stay a leftist because like on this stuff I would just, you know, you guys understand that like that shit isn't true. like what you say, it's not, it's like everyone is saying that. I used to say something. I'd be like, well, yeah, but everybody's saying that. Yeah. Like what you're saying, these things about white, everyone is talking about that.
Those are not unpopular or oppressed voices.
Everywhere you go, you hear the same thing. What are you talking about?
If somebody speaks up and like tries to disagree with you, like they're at risk for whatever they have.
One of the very first fights I got into with some of the people that I knew from like leftist communities in New York City. This is like probably like 18 years ago now. It was this black guy who. I was kind of friends with him. He was like in some Palestine activism stuff and some other like leftist, like commie type stuff. And he, of course, was from Trinidad, and he had been he was at like some Catholic college in New York City, and he was getting promoted up the ranks to be like a professor there, right? So he was smarter than your average black. He could carry on a conversation, but he was legitimately being like promoted because he, you know, he cleaned up well. He was somewhat intelligent, like more intelligent than average. And he was being essentially promoted to being a professor at this Catholic university. He was, I guess, Catholic background. I don't know, whatever, Trinidad. To be a professor at this university. But I knew him through some friends, and we kind of became sort of friends and some over political stuff. He was very pro-Palestine and things like that. But got into like a Facebook argument because he talked about how he was on a plane. And a stewardess said to him, "Oh, I like your accent. Is that an African accent?" Is a white, a working class white woman trying to be nice. So first of all, she said she liked his shoes. She said he had really nice shoes. And the guy was always a very snappy dresser, as a lot of niggers are. Mm-hmm. And then she said, "Oh, that's an interesting accent. Are you African?"
Okay.
Because he had like someone from Trinidad, right? Like that. "Hey, mom, mom."
Sure.
That, right? So it's a reasonable question. And he said, like, "Oh, man." And then he basically was telling a story, like, in the tone of that person from that other letter we were just reading. And I was on Facebook. I was like, "Wait, hold on a second." I was like, this was a white lady, a working class person, a working class white lady being nice to you and making conversation.
Right.
And you just, like, cut her down and started calling her privileged and proceeded to lecture. I was like, you understand your social position is higher than hers. You're punching down. Mm-hmm. And I got into an argument with him, and like five other people joined in, and they all ended up just blocking me. And they started saying, your argument here just reeks of privilege. I'm like, right, but you're not giving me a counter argument. Objectively, here's a woman of a lower social station who is being nice, polite, complimentary to you, as is her job, as like someone whose job is literally, you're on a flight. Her job is to make you comfortable, to serve you. And she was being sweet and nice, giving you a compliment, making small talk, and you just launch into this racial abuse.
That's what it is. It's racial abuse,
and just made her feel like shit. And then you went and bragged about how you basically.
Do you think he actually did something to her? Or he just said it on Facebook.
No, he said that he told her where it was really from, and then he educated her on, like, he probably did do that shit. He probably did. He probably wasn't, like, mean or nasty.
Ooga booga, you shouldn't ask about accents. Like,
but
really,
he probably, like, talked about educating her about whatever. I don't even know. Like, why? Like, dude, who fucking cares? Trinidad accent. Like, probably sounds just like some nigger from Africa. I don't fucking care.
See, that's the mistake. Like, why would you be nice to people? Like, ugh, here's somebody with a, here's another nigger with a filthy foreign accent. Yuck. That's what your attitude should be.
It's her job. I mean,
I know, but still, you don't have to go.
She probably
there.
Also maybe bought into like memes.
She probably
about
did.
Blacks
this,
being
and this
cool
is your thank
and,
you.
Like, yeah, and
this is
your
this
yeah.
is that's like a thing I want to tell. Like, this is always the thanks.
That
you
was
get.
Like yeah.
This thank you card is always waiting for you somewhere. Somewhere along the line, you're going to come across one of these like empowered brown people that understands
how their
the
power
card,
works,
the cards
yeah.
they hold, yeah. And if they're bored, if they feel like it, yeah. they'll use it to tear you down and discover someone in their friend group that they have to get rid of because they're not on the level.
Right. I was so disgusted with it. I was like, bro, like, and I knew what I also. I'm not naive. Like, I knew the reaction I was going to get when I finally said this. I knew what they were all going to do, and I was like sick of these people. So I was like, fine, but I was like, nah, dude, like, fuck you. Like, and I was using, like, the leftist pride. I was like, you're just a fucking actual, you're actually a bourgeois. You're actually, like, someone who's being groomed to
Absolutely.
Be a member of the elite.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a professor at a college in
totally
New York City.
True.
That's an elite position. You are shitting on a working class woman, and you're doing it because it's fun.
Yep.
You're doing it because you think it's funny. You have no other reason to make this woman's life miserable. And now here you are complaining about her to your friends just to get fucking, you know,
brownie
just to get brownie
points and have
like,
a little,
thumbs up and all this shit.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, where I don't know you. Like, what is? And I was like, nah, I'm sick of this bullshit. Like, You know exactly. I was using words like working class, power relations, all shit. And it was all accurate. Mm-hmm. I was right. Every part of it was right. It's like, I'm sorry, like, you're shitting on probably a totally nice woman who's literally just being nice. Like, why can't white people be nice to you? Why is it about you? What is it about this people can't even be nice?
If they're being nice to you, they're not dead. They're not completely disenfranchised, because, like, really, they should just be miserable.
And he said something.
They should be too miserable to be nice to you.
What is wrong with somebody that doesn't know where your accent is from asking you where your accent is from? And he's like, oh, it's not that. It's that she assumed it was from Africa. And I was like, yeah, but you're black.
Okay.
You are black, and you have an accent that is different than an American accent.
Did she assume or did she ask?
She said, I like your accent. Is it African?
That's not assumption. That's a question.
But the problem was, but listen to how he parses it out.
I'm saying, assumed, like, no, shouldn't she asked you?
Yeah.
She asked you.
But the point being that I was just, no, it
people
doesn't
forget
matter
about
what she said.
People
it
forget about
what
Trinidad.
She said.
People forget about those places.
Well, that's a colonial. No, it's not. This woman is not a colonial mindset.
No, she's a flight attendant.
She's a flight attendant. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, no.
She's making small talk. Holy shit.
Right. And I was legitimately like, bro, you're black. I was like, does it offend you as a black person to be associated with Africa?
I mean, because if you trace back far enough,
I guarantee
you're
probably one of these niggers that, like, I know you're one of these, like, free African niggers, too. So just shut the fuck up.
It's like,
you are African.
No wonder.
Just from there's an extra step.
Yeah, there's an extra step.
Like, Gen Z doesn't do small talk anymore. A lot of people from my generation have commented on this, but they just don't fucking interact. No wonder. Like, with this kind of minefield you have to wade through
every
day.
Every interaction is fraught. Like, why bother opening your mouth? Like, you just safer to shut the fuck up. I mean, it leads to a much shittier society. Like, in a white country, the reason people make small talk is because they're confident that they have, like, common reference points with people that are around them, right? You make small talk because you're like, okay, we all have generally some similar experiences that we can, like, refer to when you talk to people you never met before right?
Instead, what we live in now is essentially, like, you are always under threat of getting mobbed and brigaded by somebody because you crossed some fucking social norm you didn't know existed.
You also, frankly, if you're in a place like an airplane, like you're on a flight or you maybe at the gate in the airport or something like that, and you're surrounded by people that look like you, from your same country, your same race, speak the same language, you can make small talk with them because even if they're from, like, another county, another state, or, you know, across the same state, whatever. Like,
hey, are you still listening? You should get behind the paywall. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get yourself a subscription.
You know, you don't know them, right? You never met them. You have common experience and reference this point. But if you're sitting there with, like, blacks, Pajits, Beaners, like, different, like, all kind, like, all this alienation, like, you don't have anything in common with these people. There's no small talk to be made. What do you just sit quietly, listen to the chirping of the myriad brown people chirping away in their fucking weird languages that you don't know what they are, and just feel like an alien in your own country. Like, that's what's going on. Like, you know, and any pretense that, like, the collapse of, like, basic social norms, basic social decency and politeness and even skills, even, like, social skills, like, basic ways of navigating just, like, being around strangers or being polite or having some kind of social competency to talk to people and deal with people, just the inability of younger people to have that. It's not their fault. It's not because they're special. It's not like these boomers are, oh, these are privileged special snowflakes, so I can't be offended. It's like, no, every single piece of these people's lives is a fucking minefield of, like, racial terror.
And it's scrutinized and surveilled.
Yeah,
and they're being watched.
Everything they do is on camera. Everything they do is being captured. Everything they do is being discussed on the internet. And they also are in this social minefield of different races where they don't even know who the fuck to talk to or what to say. So, no wonder people just shut their fucking mouths.
For real. All right, we got to go take a break here.
We'll talk about all the bombing shit next hour, I guess.
hopefully we're going to have a...
bombing shit.
Hopefully bombs and whatnot.
Hopefully we're going to have a merch in a minute that leads into that. So we'll be back in a few. See ya.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're going to offend you, isn't it funny? La, 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 la.